Hello everyone, and thank you for joining us once again at The Biblical Perspective, where we publish weekly videos to help you in your understanding and the study of God's Word. Today we're continuing on our new quarter of studies. We're starting our new quarter of studies where we'll be studying on the topic of the covenant. So today we're actually studying lesson two within those quarter of studies entitled Covenant Primer. You're with myself, Colleen, and with Pedro. Before we go any further in our studies, we'll start with a quick word of prayer. Would you like to pray for us, Pedro?
Father, we thank you once more for the opportunity to study your word. We ask for the guidance of your Holy Spirit, as it is the only means you have given us to know you through your word. Bless us now in this way, not only us, but our viewers, as they study with us. In Jesus we pray, for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to quickly jump into the lesson, into the study today, Pedro, because we have quite a lot to cover. We're trying to almost have like an overview of this quarter of studies in relation to covenant. So last week you spoke about the context in which a covenant comes into our relationship with God in relation to God and humanity. And the word covenant is not like a word that we typically use often in 21st century. We don't talk about covenant often. And even the biblical aspect of covenant is not something that we regularly talk about. So I think it's going to be important for us to actually define what a covenant is. So what exactly is a covenant, and what elements make up a covenant? Like, what are we talking about when we talk about covenant?
First of all, we do not talk about covenant. It is God who talks about covenant.
Yes.
In the first occurrence of this word in the biblical narrative, the idea is not from the human side. Mm-hmm. We saw that God created everything.
Yes.
And we saw that creation came into existence within a context that is a bit more obscure, yet is evident. And as we progress in the story of the relationship between God and man, we come to Genesis chapter 6, where there is a particular story that is unfolding. And it is within the context of that narrative that we find for the first time the word covenant in the Bible.
Right.
So if you want, we can go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 18, which is the place where the word covenant occurs for the first time in the Bible.
So this is our very first introduction.
That's the very first encounter with
the word covenant.
The word covenant,
yes.
But also the concept of
the
it
concept.
Within the biblical perspective.
Okay, so I'm reading from Genesis 6, verse 18, and it says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee."
Okay. So that's Noah's story. That's Noah's flood.
Yeah.
And whether we are Bible believers or not, most of us have heard of the story of Noah. Because it has been the story of the flood, should I say, or the destruction
of
the earth, has been preserved in almost every culture.
Yes, I was going to say that. Yeah.
So that story is sort of a universal story. But in the Bible, we have a clear narrative. And it is within that narrative, as you've just read, we hear about God offering to make a covenant.
Yes.
Now, what is this covenant idea about? We should allow God to tell us.
Yes.
Because we did not come up with it. He did. So if you read verse 19 for me, just the following verse, please.
Okay, Genesis 6, verse 19 says, "And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female."
Yeah.
Yeah, do you want me to continue?
No, the idea here is Noah goes into the ark.
Yes.
What is that for? What's the aim of that? And Noah goes into the ark with animals.
And his family.
His family and animals. Mm-hmm. What's that for?
To preserve.
Okay. So the first time we hear about the use of the word covenant, first it comes from God. It is his initiative. It involves the human family, but it is within the context, not only the human family, it also involves rest of the creation, animals.
Yes, as well.
But it is within the context of preserving life in the midst of destruction.
Yes.
That's where we hear for the first time the word covenant. And I think it is important for us to keep this in mind. Just in passing, every first occurrence of any concept or idea in the biblical narrative,
yes,
is of importance on defining the concept in the rest of the story.
So that means that this text is kind of like defining in regards to our entire study of this quarter.
It will at least play a major role.
Yes.
And what we said is God uses the word covenant. So we can say the divine use of the word covenant is within the context of preserving life, preserving creation, preserving what God established himself. Would you agree with that?
Yes, yes.
Now, technically speaking, we still want to know, according to your question, what it really is. There is another narrative. I mean, it's the same story, but another portion of it that gives us a very clear idea of what it involves. Because your question was,
in regards to
what does it?
Yeah, what elements?
What elements
are involved?
Are involved in covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep in mind, it comes within the context of life saving, life preserving, life keeping in the midst of destruction.
Yes.
I want you to read now for me.
So we're still staying in this narrative, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
But the same story, but a different passage, which is found in chapter 9. This is the end of the experience of the flood. And if you can read for me, verses 8 to 17. It's a long passage, but it's important for you to read it.
8 to 17.
8 to 17, please.
So I'm reading from Genesis 9, 8 to 17. And it says, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. 11, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. 9:15 And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And did you say finally 17?
Yeah.
And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth.
You see, that builds on what we've already defined.
Yes, it does.
It is interesting to notice that the word covenant occurs 26 times within the book of Genesis. In fact, 27 times if you look at the original, but 26 times in the English. But the book of Genesis has how many chapters?
I'm not sure.
Okay, you will find out. But it's got a lot of chapters. But within this chapter 9, the portion that you've just read, 7 times we have God himself using the word
covenant.
And what is he talking about when he uses the word covenant 7 times within verses 8 and 17? He is talking about preserving. But not only preserving, he's talking about offering comfort, which is a form of preservation of life. Not only is he talking about a covenant made with Noah and his family when he speaks of the bowl in the clouds. He says, this is the token of the covenant. The covenant is what? The covenant is the promise that I will no more
destroy
this earth with a flood. Why? Because before the flood, there was no rain. That's why it was important for us to define the context in which we're going to talk about covenant. There was no rain before the flood. But after the flood, which came by rain in one part, the phenomenon of rain became a regular thing.
Yes.
So you can imagine in the psyche of God's creation, humans and animals, when they would see droplets of rain coming down from heaven, what would happen in their souls?
They might become fearful.
Absolutely. So God said, I am making a covenant. And that covenant is basically, I'm giving you a promise. When you see rain, water coming down from heaven on this earth, let not your heart be
troubled.
Let me preserve peace within you. Don't worry about the rain. It's an opportunity for God to bring his creation into a relationship of trust with him. So the idea of covenant is very much clear in that passage.
Mm-hmm.
26 times in Genesis, the word covenant, seven times within that small portion. And it all has to do with the rain no longer being a threat, God giving assurance to not only Noah, the human race, but also to the animals. He explicitly said, I am making this covenant with them, the animals. So the idea of the covenant is God's determination to be so close to his creation, men and animals. This is very important for us, because the world we live in today has almost no consideration or understanding of that creation in this at this level. A creation with which God is communing and communicating in every section of it, man and animals. You with me? That is clear in that story, and it gives us a clear idea of what a covenant is from the divine perspective. It is a guarantee that God cares.
Yes.
He preserves, he brings back, he helps, he gives peace.
Yes. And God cares for his creation.
That's definitely the idea of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to translate that in another word, what would be a covenant here? What other word would you use?
Other than covenant.
Other than covenant. When you look at what he says.
A promise.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a divine promise. This is the starting point of the concept. I'm not saying that there are not other aspects to it. But as you saw in Genesis 6, 18, it is the saving and the keeping and the preserving of life through Noah going into the ark, as well as the animals, in the midst of a destructive, a catastrophe that is upon the earth. By the end of that story, coming out, it's a promise that this will not happen again, so that you can have peace with me. You don't have to be fearful and be scared of me. And then he gives the guarantee.
Yes.
Why? Today.
The rainbow.
Today. A bow in the sky is irrelevant to us. But think about its impact on the people who lived through the flood.
Yes.
Think of its impact on the animals who lived through the flood. And tell me what you think of God's idea of a covenant must have looked like to them.
And we also, because we're going to be looking more in detail in regards to the covenant, and we also see this idea of like a covenant relationship and God establishing his covenant also with Abraham. And we also see as well at Sinai, Mount Sinai. And then there's this, and then later on we'll look at this whole idea of the new covenant as well.
A new covenant, yeah.
And will we see these same elements in regards to covenant as we look at these different elements and as we progress through in this study?
I guess that your guess is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not.
Why? Because we've established that It's not us defining what a covenant is to begin with. We are the witnesses today of what God meant when he says, I'm making a covenant with you. And we've unpacked that. If we go to Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, which I think the text you were referring to when you spoke about a new covenant. We pass Abraham. We pass all the ones you mentioned. We will have an opportunity to come back to Abraham in almost every detail.
Yes.
For weeks. So let's leave him aside for a while. Let's go to Jeremiah 31. This is basically the 6th century BC. How far from creation? Thousands of years. Almost 4,000 years, if I'm not mistaken. Well, however, thousands of years. And here we are. Can you read this text for me,
please?
Yeah,
it's Jeremiah
31 to 34.
And it says, behold, the day come. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In 34?
Yeah.
And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more.
There is a whole history that has run from the episodes of Noah to here.
Yes, to Jeremiah.
But if you look closely, the same principles that were in the definition of a covenant are also there.
Yes.
What do we see? We see divine initiative again. Mm-hmm. It's not people deciding to have this covenant. The aim of this covenant is to bring peace. The aim of this covenant is to bring life. The aim of this covenant is to bring a tighter relationship between God and his creation. In this particular case, God and his people. The aim of this covenant, he said, I will make a new covenant. And he defines that as opposed to the covenant that he had with. It does not mean that it is a covenant that is different. It means it's a covenant with them rather than with their fathers, because their fathers broke that covenant.
Yes,
the idea behind that is a God seeking, in the same way that he did with Noah.
Yeah. He's seeking them just like he was seeking their fathers.
And he's seeking to preserve. He's seeking to bring peace. He's seeking to bring life. He's seeking a tighter, better, more enjoyable relationship. He's seeking a preservation. And a development of his image that he put to begin with in man. That's why in our first study we spoke about what happened. It is in that context that the idea of a covenant, God making promises to give life, to preserve life, to help, to bless, to bring peace comes, because that image is troubled. And that death scenario that existed, but yet did not affect the creation within the perfect state in which he created in the 7-day creation this world, is now into this world. And what it takes now is for God to be determined to keep that darkness away from these people.
Yes.
This is the idea, to keep that death away from his people. This is the idea of God's covenant, essentially.
And whether we're talking about the covenant in relation to when we first see the covenant, or whether we're talking about the covenant here, it's important as God's people that we understand this, like the biblical teaching of the covenant. It's important that even in the 21st century, this whole idea of a covenant and a covenant relationship with God is still really relevant and important.
Yeah, because all it seeks is for God to give you the guarantee that he wants to preserve your life. I mean, we will go, it's a series of 13 studies. And that's the second study only. So it is important for us to see what is the biblical view from the start of what God meant when he said, I'm making a covenant with you. And so far, what we have seen is that the covenant is a promise on his part to preserve life in all its aspects in his creation.
Yeah, so this is going to be a really interesting quarter of Bible studies. We're going to look more deeply into Abraham as well. We're going to look at Mount Sinai, and we're going to touch on these different elements in more depth. So we encourage everyone to continue to study with us. So I just wanted to ask you, really, in closing, in regards to our personal covenant relationship with God, and I know that we're going to touch on this at the very end, but in regards to our walk with God and our covenant relationship with God, where do you see us there with that?
Take it this way. When God says in Jeremiah 31, he says, this covenant, I'm going to write it on their hearts. What in the Hebraic thought, he's talking about the mind. He's talking about the psyche. He's talking about the emotion. He's talking about the intellect. He's talking about the reason. He's talking about what makes man essentially a man, where the image is reflected. You with me? After the flood, God was still interested, according to the covenant idea, and we will see that in a different study. He was still interested in the image, or he was still interested in man's reflection of his image as he made it, or he made him from the beginning. When he says, I will make a covenant with them and write my laws in their hearts, which is what I said, he is saying, I want this to be part of them forever. This is where we stand today. A relationship in which God feels every aspect of the human, of what it means to be human. That's where we stand.
Thank you, Pedro. Thank you for the study today. And thank you for joining us for part one. We'll see you for part two on the live. Thank you.